Welcome to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman, and I come to you weekly to discuss self-care and the art of healing. To me, the term integrative medicine means that nothing that happens inside you happens in a vacuum. It's related to and affects everything else about you. If your shoulder hurts, it's not just about your shoulder. It's about your posture and how easily you get inflamed, which has to do with your hormone balance and whether you've been exposed to trauma or pollution. In the same way, anything that's happening with you has everything to do with your environment, both physical and emotional. This means that there's an intersection between politics and health. We don't have control over everything that we've been exposed to throughout our lives, but we do have to bear the responsibility for tending ourselves. It should seem natural for us to understand that what happens to us also is not an isolated event, and that health is a political issue, since what happens to us happens to our world. We're in the middle of our spring fun drive, and we have a very special guest with us today, and we're all hoping that you will join the station during this hour and get a copy of the book that we're going to be discussing. We also have another special thank you gift for people pledging today, which is a 20% off coupon for a one-year subscription to the Progressive Health Advisor, the new newsletter coming out of Your Own Health and Fitness. So let me introduce my guest, get us into the show, but please do remember that the number, as always, to call if you want to join during this hour is 510-848-5732, or you can call 1-800-439-5732 and get a copy of the book for a $90 pledge, or get a 20% off year subscription to Progressive Health Advisor for $60, or you can combine the book and the coupon for $125. And I'll give you some times to join. Today's guest is Kenny Ossibel, founder of the Bioneers Conference, a nonprofit organization that promotes practical environmental solutions and social strategies for restoring the earth. His newest book is called Ecological Medicine, and it's a collection of essays by innovators and activists from the Bioneers' yearly conferences. Kenny Ossibel is an award-winning writer, filmmaker, and social entrepreneur specializing in health and the environment. He founded the Bioneers Conference and its nonprofit parent, Collective Heritage Institute, in 1990. He's authored three books, Seeds of Change, The Bioneers, A Declaration of Independence, and When Healing Becomes a Crime, which is the amazing story of the Hoxie Cancer Clinics and the return of alternative therapy. Ossibel lives in Santa Fe and co-produced this show, or I should say co-edited this book, not show, with J.P., and I'm afraid to try to pronounce his last name. Kenny, can you help me?
Alpini.
Harpigny.
Yeah,
oh, it's French.
Belgian, yes.
I'm sorry. That's right. You're not French. Belgian, yes. I really didn't want to try to pronounce this because it could come out sounding very bad. Anyway, thank you so much for being with us again.
Well, it's totally my pleasure to be on your show again, Lena, and I'm especially honored to be here at the time of the pledge drive for KPFA because it's so important in this day and age, especially at this moment in time, that we support our independent media.
Well, and equally so, you represent someone who has managed to unify and gather groups of great thinkers to discuss what kind of practical activism is available to us, those of us who feel the way we do about the world and wanting it to be preserved and protected. And you've created a real atmosphere for change, and this book is no different. Ecological Medicine has, as I said, these wonderful essays by prominent people in the ecological movement and in the environmental movement. Now, you've arranged these essays starting with the idea that a healthy planet, including all the lives on it, is inseparable from human health. And you move directly to the precautionary principle, and I'd like you to explain that because it's a good way to start.
Well, sure. You know, our focus with Bioneers has always been on solutions, and there are many things we can do individually, But at the end of the day, our destiny is collective, you know, as a species. And Richard Dierdrack from Taos Pueblo once said at the Bioneers Conference that from the point of view of a plant, all people must look pretty much the same. And I think that that's part of the realization we're coming to, that we're one species and we're actually a very young species. And whatever we do to the land ultimately ends up back in ourselves in a very literal way. So we can no longer think of public health as just about the health of people. In fact, we even have to extend the concept of human rights to really think about the web of life and the right of all life and how we can fit into that in a healthy way. And, you know, mounting numbers of human health problems are directly associated or caused by environmental problems, and this is only going to intensify over the years to come. So in a sense, the earth has to become the physician or the healthcare practitioner's first client. And what our real job is, which of course, as you well know, relates to many ancient healing traditions, is to create the conditions for health and wholeness in the world around us in order for us to be personally healthy. And the key to that, and really the centerpiece of ecological medicine and that the book delves into in depth, is this idea of the precautionary principle. And the system we live with now is quite different. It's what's called the risk paradigm, where basically companies or, you know, enterprises are able to put out products or technologies or processes, and that the assumption is that there's a certain amount of harm and damage or poison that inevitably will go into the environment, and that there's a quote-unquote acceptable level of risk, right, to our health that just goes with the territory. And then what it says in turn is that the burden of proof of safety is on society rather than on the promoters of these practices. And so, in effect, what they're doing is they're just letting all this stuff out there, and then they start to count the bodies. And by the time we can prove scientifically that, which if you can even do that, which is difficult sometimes because life is so complex, but if you can prove that X chemical causes Y disease, then by then, you know, probably their patent has run out anyway, and it's on to the next one. So the precautionary principle, and the word actually comes from a German word that means forecaring, caring into the future. It's the classic idea of Iroquois Six Nations, that we should make our decisions based on the well-being of the seventh generation, to think way into the future. And that rather than this risk model, we should exercise precaution. And it's very, very simple. It's grandma's time-worn wisdom, better safe than sorry. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Look before you leap. In fact, it's sort of so obvious in a way that people are now starting to call it the duh principle.
You know, one of the things that the Bioneers Conference and your writings have made clear to anyone who didn't know this is that we've had alternative therapies, I'm sorry, not only therapies, but technologies for dealing with many of the problems of convenience, the things that we need to do to make life more convenient for us, even to the extent of being able to clean up a mess if we make one with oil or whatever. I mean, we have, you know, there's the man who's working with funguses and mushrooms and there's bacteria and things that can eat up the pollutants, the things that are harmful to us in the environment without hurting themselves. And we've also had lots of the whole issue of not having to rely on fossil fuels. Well, there's been technology to do that for almost 100 years. You know, it's just amazing. So what happens here is there are things that interfere. And, you know, everyone listening to this radio station is cynical enough to understand where that's coming from. But the particularly disturbing thing is that there are laws on the books that protect us from the polluters, which would encourage the use. In other words, it would make the use of these alternative therapies and technologies really easy. And then there are new laws that have, it's no surprise here with this administration, new laws that completely destroy those protective laws. I wanted you to talk about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the most interesting models, although it's not carried out in practice the way it's supposed to be, but, you know, it's actually the pharmaceutical drug industry, because they are required by law, and they have been for quite a long time, before they release a new drug, to prove that it's both safe and effective, right? And, of course, they don't adhere to that a great deal of the time, but that is the law. And if we simply applied that across the board, I mean, just to give you a very current real-world example, the European Union has adopted the precautionary principle quite strongly in a number of areas. Both Germany and Sweden have it for all their environmental decisions, for example. And what they have recently done is they targeted the 30,000 most common chemicals of commerce, and they require now that the chemical industry prove the safety of these chemicals before they can be sold in commerce any further. And you can imagine the reaction of the United States chemical companies when they heard this. They thought they were in, you know, the land of Oz. They couldn't believe this was happening. But when you think about it, you know, it makes all the sense in the world. It's kind of a big duh, of course. And if these companies then put out a product that they claim is safe and they're wrong, the liability is on them. And depending how serious the harm is, it could put those companies out of business. So, you know, and it's very interesting, Lena, because the big resistance to the precautionary principle now ideologically from, you know, these retrograde companies is they say that it's anti-scientific and that it will stifle innovation. And really the opposite is true, because what the precautionary principle says is that even in the face of scientific uncertainty where you can't absolutely prove cause and effect, if there's a significant risk of, you know, serious or irreversible harm, then we should take anticipatory action. And what that means is you have to look at all the alternatives. So actually it shines a bright light on the science, and it demands that we be ever more creative and innovative. And of course this can only lead to inventions and good things, and, you know, ultimately it actually, we would learn a lot more and have a much better scientific handle. But it also involves a certain amount of humility, because when you look at something like an ecosystem, or even like our bodies, which are not just our bodies, but also our spirits and our minds, and I mean, as you said at the outset of the show, we're a lot more, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Complexity rules, and you can't really necessarily say that this exact thing caused that exact affliction, and, you know, it's really foolish to think that we can know things to that degree. So it's a big lesson in humility and respect for the complexity of the world.
It was interesting to me to read about the NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, which is a wonderful law that's on the books that says, quote, all reasonable alternatives must be considered and fully analyzed for their potential impacts, unquote. I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful that that exists on the books. But now there's a new bill called the Mega Stream Act, which stands for Maximum Economic Growth for America Through Environmental Streamlining, and it, quote, it gives the Secretary of Transportation the final authority to decide whether any alternatives to a proposed federally funded highway or transit project will be considered, etc. So in other words, it gives the power away so that somebody can basically trump NEPA. So anyway, that's... People often wonder, I mean, aside from follow the money, just the economic interests that seem to come to play, people tend to be confused about why this is allowed to happen, since it isn't happening in other countries. But this is a very aggressively capitalist country. So,
well, you know, I think it's not just capitalist in that sense. I don't think capitalist, I mean, you know, people talk about the free market, and I always ask if free is a verb. We don't have a free market. We have a highly monopolized market, and that's part of the problem. In fact, that's a great deal of the problem. The elephant in the room is actually an 800-pound gorilla called corporations. And what's been going on with the current administration for the last several years is a wholesale deconstruction of every major environmental law and advancement that we've made over the past 30 years. And much of it is just outright lawless behavior. This is a rogue regime. And it's, in fact, operating against the will of the American people. You know, survey after survey and poll after poll shows the vast majority of the American people ardently in favor of environmental protection.
Yeah.
And one of the, you know, we think about this stuff a lot with in relation to bioenergy, and we all know how serious the world environmental situation is now. You know, all the basic life support systems of the planet are in serious and accelerating decline. And, in fact, I don't know if you saw the recent Pentagon report that came out that was actually commissioned by Donald Rumsfeld, no less, to look at global warming. And they hired this guy who in the Pentagon is known as Yoda. He's an 83-year-old sage who's considered, you know, basically an oracle. And he came out with this report that, in fact, he leaked to Fortune magazine because he wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be suppressed, which we know how that works these days. And what it says is that by the year 2020, just global warming could could be so severe. I mean, forget even all the other issues, right? Just global warming could be so severe that we will face mega droughts, mega floods, hundreds of millions of ecological refugees, and nuclear war between countries like India and Pakistan over fresh water supplies. So, and then the other very important scientific study that came out just about a year and a half ago in the journal Nature, a top flight gold standard of scientific research, was that it basically exploded the conventional scientific thinking about environmental degradation, that you can keep destroying and harming, and it's a gradual process, and that we'll see the line coming before we cross it. And what they discovered is that that is just not the case, that an ecosystem can appear viable until one day its resiliency has been so undermined that it literally collapses in the blink of an eye.
Yep. Yeah,
and
that's
called the tipping point.
Uh-huh. And it's very similar to what Andrew Weil says in his essay about the idea that traditional Chinese medicine, for instance, looks at the general terrain and sort of senses when a person might be getting out of balance and treats before there's a crisis. And in conventional establishment medicine here in the United States, everything's a crisis and everything requires heroic intervention with, as he puts it, big artillery. So the idea of maintaining balance before there's a problem, it's sort of like waiting until the car actually has something wrong with it to bring it to the mechanic, because he says that's the only way he's going to know what's wrong. We have that same sense. I just want to remind people that you're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and I'm on the phone with Kenny Ossibel, founder of the Bioneers Conference, and we're discussing his newest book, Ecological Medicine, Healing the Earth, Healing Ourselves, which is a group of essays by some of the most innovative activists in the country. And lest we start to sound so negative that people begin to be in despair, one of the things that's amazing about this book is it offers very concrete solutions and reminds us that solutions exist. And then my favorite part of the book is the part called Taking Action, which is about really ordinary people doing extraordinary things and backing down large polluters by themselves with some help. I'd love it if you could share some of the stories, if you could discuss some of them, like, for instance, Diane Wilson.
Sure. And just to finish the last thought, and then I'll talk about Diane, is that when we think about strategy, people, we all have health or we don't have health, we have illness, and people will actually change our behavior because of a health crisis. And oftentimes, if you get sick, you start to wonder what you're eating and what your diet's like and how that food was grown, and, one thing leads to another. And when you look at the past 30 years, the rise of alternative medicine is arguably the single biggest progressive social movement of our time. Today, an estimated 152 million Americans are regularly using natural medicine, and people now pay more visits to an alternative practitioner than to their doctor. And almost all of that is off the grid. It's paid out of pocket, not by insurance. So this is a grassroots movement that is unstoppable. And what's happening increasingly is that those in the natural medicine field are linking with those in the environmental field, and that is a very, very powerful political movement.
And I do want to go back to that. I want to also mention one other thing. I don't know if people realize this. This was brought to my attention that the Dark Ages in Europe, medieval time, feudal period, didn't end because there was an uprising and a revolution. What happened was that grassroots groups set up a free market, sort of a free economy kind of thing, outside of the castle, and started building a new economy out there. And pretty soon, people from the castle were coming down. And so they just kind of crumbled the system by creating an alternative and creating a market for it. So it has been done in other dark ages like our own. But let's talk about some of the heroes, and then we can
Sure.
go back to some of the specific health stuff, which is also interesting.
Sure. Well, Diane Wilson is a really amazing individual. She is a fourth-generation shrimp boat captain on the Texas Gulf Coast and grew up, living with the ocean. And she's a very private, shy person, actually, and she always talks about how the ocean is like her grandmother to her, and it was where she could go for peace and solace and connection and a sense of oneness. And she was a mother of five, including an autistic child, and was the head of the PTA about 15 years ago, high school education. Very solid working person and worked real hard. And she was in the shrimp house one day cleaning shrimp when this other shrimper she used to know came in who was dying of cancer. And he had a copy of the Houston Chronicle, and he pointed out a little article to her, just a little throwaway article, saying that their county, Calhoun County, population 15,000 people, had just been rated by the EPA as the most toxic county in the United States. And that really blew Diane's mind, and she started to wonder if maybe that had something to do with the dolphin die-offs or the alligators floating belly up in the bay or the red tides or the brown tides. So she started to hold meetings and ask questions and start to learn. And, of course, what she discovered very quickly was that, you know, that area is called Cancer Alley. It's the home of the giant, giant chemical companies. And one of the foremost is a company called Formosa Plastics, which was about to do a $1.5 billion expansion of a PVC plastic factory. And PVC has nothing redeeming about it. It's one of the most deadly poisons produced, and it bioaccumulates. It's an endocrine disruptor. It's a carcinogen. You know, you name it. This stuff, in fact, it's now been banned worldwide as one of the so-called dirty dozen. But anyway, the other problem she ran into is, of course, it's a company town, and everybody there worked at one time or another for Formosa, including the fishermen, because fishing is very seasonal. So she met tremendous resistance as she started to resist this plant being built, and she actually learned, her board of directors of her teeny-weeny little nonprofit was threatened, and they all quit, and she found herself alone, and she couldn't get a lawyer, and finally, you know, she learned to file her own legal briefs, even though she had a high school education and an intense dislike of chemistry, and even when she started winning these legal battles, what she discovered was the company just figured out a way to do an end run around it and not really comply with anything. So she had been reading Joseph Campbell and Thoreau and Gandhi, and she decided to try civil disobedience. So she went on a series of hunger strikes, including one that was 30 days long where she actually almost died and had to be put on life support at the end of it. It got so much publicity that it forced the company to come to the table, and they agreed to make some changes, and she thought everything was hunky-dory, and then discovered that they were just blowing the whole thing off. So she ultimately, it's kind of an extended story, but she ultimately filed this lawsuit relating to an illegal discharge that the company was making into Lavaca Bay on the Gulf Coast, and they denied that they were even doing this. And so one day, she wanted to find out where her case was because it was supposed to be right at the top level and about to be decided. And she reached this EPA official, this woman who mistook Diane Wilson for Diane, the lawyer for Formosa Plastics, and started to speak to what she thought was the other Diane from Formosa, saying basically, you know, even if you're convicted on this, which you will be because they've got the goods on you, we're not an enforcement agency and we don't actually have to do anything about it. Well, Diane heard this and, you know, realized that the system was corrupt right up to the top, and decided that she had to do something really, really drastic. So what she did, it's kind of an amazing story, but, you know, if you're a shrimper, your shrimp boat is just your pride and joy. You can live in an old beat-up trailer. You can have a pickup truck with 250,000 miles, but your shrimp boat is just spick and span. And so what she did is she got her brother to help her yank the engine so that she wouldn't spill any diesel fuel into the bay, and then she got him to tow her out to this illegal discharge in the middle of a huge northern storm. And Diane, ironically, can barely swim and probably was going to drown, but somebody had found out what she was up to and ratted on her, and they were intercepted by 13 Coast Guard boats who charged her with terrorism on the high seas, and dragged her back to the dock and had her shackled in her boat overnight, where she went through, you know, a dark night of the soul, and pretty much figured she had totally, you know, lost any hope of doing anything about all this. And in the morning, as the dawn broke, a beautiful pink dawn over the bay, one by one by one, she saw all the shrimp boats coming out who had never helped her before, never stepped out in support of her. And it got so much publicity, you know, Associated Press came down in, I think, 60 Minutes, and it brought Formosa Plastics to the table, and they agreed to a zero discharge agreement. And what zero discharge means is that any poisonous or toxic substances have to stay within a closed industrial loop. They are not emitted into the environment. And that's a law that's been on the books for over 20 years from the Clean Water Act. It's actually part of our law. And so anyway, she did that, and then she promptly announced that she was going after Alcoa next, and within 30 days they agreed to zero discharge. And what Diane likes to say is that she's nobody particular, that if she could do this, you know, a mother of five with a high school education and the whole bit, that anybody could do it. And she loves to quote Thoreau, and on his deathbed, Thoreau was asked if he had any regrets. And what he said was, after thinking about it for a minute, was, "My only regret is that I was too well-behaved." So Diane says, don't be too well-behaved.
Well, and it's not the only story like that in the book. There are several in the book, Ecological Medicine, several stories of people like that. Not all of them put their lives completely at risk the way Diane Wilson did. But, you know, really it was just reading it, you realize as you're reading it that the reason she was able to keep going is she just got so angry at the way it was. I mean, she just realized that somebody had to stop it. And zero discharge, as you said, is on the books, and it is, you can demand that. It is legal to demand that. The problem is that corporate polluters don't have to follow the law, and so the only way that you can get them to do it is by people organizing. But the fact is that people can organize and stop them, and you have several stories in the book that show that. Kenny, I'm getting some distortion on your phone. Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm not, actually.
Oh, okay. I don't know why that's happening. All right. We have just a couple of moments here. I think what I want to do is take just a very short break, put on a little music, give people a chance to call in and get a copy of this book just for maybe a minute or two, and then we'll come back to our interview with Kenny Ossibel, author of Ecological Medicine and founder of the Bioneers Conference. We're doing an interview discussing these wonderful essays in the book from the Bioneers about the junction between the environment and health, which is inseparable as far as I'm concerned. I'm Lena Berman. I'm going to put a little music on. I'd like you to join us at 510-848-5732, or you can dial 1-800-439-5732. You can get a copy of Ecological Medicine for $90 pledge. You can also get a 20% off one-year subscription coupon for the Progressive Health Advisor, which is a news commentary alternative to Big Box Medicine. It is the newsletter coming out of your own health and fitness. You can be you can get a subscription for 20% off with this coupon for a $60 pledge to KPFA, or you can put the two premiums together and get both the book and the 20% off coupon for $125. And I'm hoping that you will join us during this little brief break at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. Let me give you some music. I just want to remind you that this is a good time to pledge. You can leave that music on in the background there, because when I take a break later, it's going to be earnest pledging here. But we are in the spring pledge drive, and this is notoriously a hard time for us to raise money. Unfortunately, it's still a time when KPFA needs funds to operate, and we do operate at just what we need and no more, unlike some of the other stations who have these lavish pledge drives where they ask you for $1 million. I would really like it if you could call us now at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. You can join at the normal $60 level, which is a yearly membership to KPFA, which is remarkably less than your newspaper or cable or anything else. And I will throw in a 20% off coupon for a year subscription to the Progressive Health Observer, a newsletter which is going to be a news commentary alternative to Big Box Medicine. We're going to have columns about Well, there'll be hormone columns. There'll be big news articles. We're going to counter what we see in the news. There's going to be recipes and book reviews in there. And we also have copies of Ecological Medicine, Kenny Ossibel's book, which is extremely inspiring. There are some beautiful essays. Some of them are written by Native American people talking about the activism involved in their own communities, trying to preserve their understanding of this juncture between health and the health of the planet. And there are also wonderful pieces by people who are activists in the medical community as well. That book is available for a $90 pledge, or you can mesh the two premiums for a $125 pledge. We'll give you both the 20% off coupon for the newsletter and the book, which will keep you in information for a long time, and it will keep coming at you with the newsletter. So please join us right now, 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. We try not to interrupt these programs very often, but we do need your help, and it's particularly needed during this spring fund drive. So any amount of money will help us, even if you can only offer us $25. So let me let this music play, and we'll be back to our interview with Kenny Ossibel, Ecological Medicine, in just a moment. Welcome back. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman. I'm on the phone with Kenny Ossibel, founder of the Bioneers Conference and author of Ecological Medicine, essays on healing the earth and healing ourselves. As I mentioned, we're giving away Ecological Medicine as a thank you gift for a $90 pledge. I think we just heard Sia Sung say that $90 comes to seven something a month. Again, considerably less than anything else costs these days. And we also have 20% off coupons for a year's subscription to the Progressive Health Observer, the new newsletter from Your Own Health and Fitness, for a $60 pledge, or you can combine them for $125. And again, 1-800-439-5732 gets you to our phone volunteers who are waiting to hear from you. We've been talking about people, heroes, activists who have been brave enough to organize. One of the reasons this is an important time to read this kind of material is because we're living in a culture of fear right now. People are very afraid to be activists. They're afraid if they go out and march, they're going to be tear gassed or shot. And they're afraid to go up against corporate organizations because they've seen films like Silkwood and they're afraid they'll just be offed. But in fact, you have stories in the book, Kenny, that describe people who have successfully backed down these polluters. I think it's very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, before I'd love to touch on that, but I just do want to also back you up there, Lena, because listening to your show and listening to all the programming on KPFA is like oxygen, you know, and we can't live without it. And when we listen or read the corporate media these days, it's, you know, like breathing our own exhaust. It is so toxic and so incomplete and really dangerous. And so I just am, you know, really encourage all of your listeners to, well, you know, we need to put our money where our values are and recognize that this kind of work and this kind of public programming and genuine real news is so essential. It's the feedback loop for our democracy. Without it, you know, as they say in the computer business, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
We really need to know what's going on in a fair and unbiased way, and we need to hear a diversity of voices. So I really encourage your listeners to call in and support the station to the max. But, I, you know, in terms of what you're saying of people who have stood up, there's so many people in the book whose work, for me, has been so inspiring. And all of these were originally drawn from talks at the Bioneers Conference, which we then edited and enhanced a little bit. But one of the most amazing stories comes from a group that's a local group there in the Bay Area out of the Commonweal Institute, Michael Lerner, who has been really one of the paragons of environmental health. And Michael says that environmental health is going to become the central human rights issue of the 21st century, the right to be born free from poisons and ecological disruption. And he was one of the co-founders of a magnificent group called Healthcare Without Harm. And one of the supreme ironies, you know, of the world today is that medicine, which is supposed to heal, is actually one of the most toxic industries of anything that we do. Medicine is hazardous to your health in many cases. And so Healthcare Without Harm began by identifying something that was really doable, which was the elimination of mercury thermometers. And, you know, we never think about things like that, but a single mercury thermometer can contaminate and kill an entire 20-acre lake. I mean, oh my gosh, what are we doing? And so they set out to do that, and they used market-based pressures that ultimately encouraged companies like Walmart and Kmart to get these things off their shelves. And then they moved. They started to look at medical incineration because PVC plastics, the same kind of product that Diane Wilson was struggling against, are very, very common in the medical industry. In fact, they're used for IV bags, and it leaches, you know, this PVC and phthalates right into your blood. And these are, you know, very dangerous toxins that could have an effect in parts per trillion. In other words, there's no safe amount. And so they discovered that medical incineration is the biggest source of airborne dioxin exposure in the whole country. So over the past 6-7 years since they came into existence, Healthcare Without Harm has reduced the number of medical incinerators from 6,000 to fewer than 800, which is extraordinary. And it's worldwide, actually, now, the whole movement. They have, I think, 450 chapters in over 50 countries, something like that. So this has really spread, you know, just across the world. And then the other huge story in San Francisco really is that the city and the county of San Francisco have adopted the precautionary principle for the purchasing budget, which is an annual expenditure of $600 million. And rather than asking what is the cheapest alternative for us to buy, they're now asking what is the safest and the least harmful.
Ends up being cheaper, too.
Well, exactly. I mean, there was a big study in Massachusetts where they enforced these kind of, you know, anti-pollution laws, basically, on industry. And 1,000 companies ultimately were forced to adopt a different set of practices. But they had all been, you know, bitching and moaning that this is going to break the bank and make them bankrupt. And what they found was, in fact, it saved the money and they were more profitable after they made the changes. So, I mean, you know, get over it.
Yeah, well, you know, there are two other things that are local to us, but you mentioned Michael Lerner, and his wife was part of the Body Burden study, which I was going to try to do a show on. A number of very interesting people, including Bill Moyers and Cheryl Patton, his wife, were tested for how much pollution and chemicals and, you know, pesticides, residues and all this stuff, how much is there. And what she says in her essay is that she's a very advantaged person who lives in this pristine area in Bolinas, which is this little cove, and her air is wonderful, and they've always eaten organic food and been very careful about their exposure level to things, and her body burden was very high because it's not, you know, everyone just thinks, I'm safe. I don't live in Richmond. You know, we have the wonderful story of Henry Clark right here in Richmond, you know, causing this ecological racism, this people of color or people who don't have as much money are living in highly polluted areas because they're cost effective to live in. They're cheaper to live in, so it's okay to pollute. And he's causing some trouble over there. But right there in Bolinas, here are people who are have enough money and are comfortable and live in a beautiful place, and they're carrying around a toxic load because it's not just somewhere else. It's not just in Richmond. It's everywhere, if it's anywhere.
No, it's everywhere. And I mean, you know, there's an ancient spiritual teaching that we are all one. But as Michael Lerner says, it's coming back today with a literalness that, you know, is pretty straightforward. I mean, whatever happens to us, is, you know, for example, in northern Canada, the Inuit, who are about as far from industrial civilization as anyone could be, have some of the highest body burdens of PCBs of anyone in the world because they eat a lot of seal meat, you know, and it bioaccumulates in the creatures. So truly, we are all one, and there, you know, we are the environment. There is no separation. It's one notion, indivisible. Another really great story along the lines of what you're talking about took place in Los Angeles with a woman named Marta Arguello, who works with Physicians for Social Responsibility. And what had happened was this Hispanic woman in L.A., Rubina, was bringing her two kids to school one morning in the L.A. Unified School District. And as they entered the building, there were these spray jockeys spraying pesticide. You know, they're wearing hazmat suits and the whole bit. And these two little kids walked right through this cloud of poison. And the boy got quite ill afterwards, and Rubina got quite upset and started making noise. And Marta Arguello got involved, and all the school officials and the district officials. And what they did is they took the precautionary principle and they applied it to all the chemicals being used in the LA Unified School District, which was 135 different chemicals. So they went through all of the science and used a very rigorous screen to eliminate anything that was a known carcinogen, a mutagen, endocrine disruptor, you know, on down the line. And at the end of the day, they ended up with 35 chemicals that they felt were safe. And so that is, that's the precautionary principle on the street. And it's very, and then in fact, partly resulting from that whole process, the state of California has now adopted the precautionary principle as a fundamental part of environmental justice policy for the whole state.
Yeah, this book is very hopeful. This book has a lot of hope in it, and a lot of it just makes you realize how possible it is for this to really be turned around. It just requires everybody being on the same page, and this book is really important. Ecological Medicine is the book. Kenny Ausubel, again, my guest.
You know, the other thing that's really fascinating about that story, too, or that same general area, is that the group Healthcare Without Harm, the former co-executive director is a woman named Charlotte Brody, and Charlotte is a registered nurse as well as an organizer. But she contributed a piece called Thinking Like a Girl is Good Medicine, because what she had noticed was that nurses were at the leading edge of all these reforms and all this change. And she started to think about that because she has a background in psychology, and as she looked into it, she discovered that there are these very different ways that men and women look at the world, and there's a lot of psychological studies that go in depth about this, but that there are different so-called stages of, quote, moral development that psychologists have laid out. And at about stage three, you're mostly concerned with relationships, right, and what's good for other people and so forth, and direct effects of how you affect other people and vice versa. And then boys at stages 4, 5, and 6 become increasingly obsessed with the elaboration of rules and regulations, to the point where the rules are more important than the outcomes. And that for nurses, what you really care about is the well-being and the quality of life of the patient. And you may not necessarily exactly know the rules or the causes or the precise mechanisms or all this kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, what you want to do is to make that person feel better. And so Charlotte basically says that, you know, girls do think differently, and thinking like a girl is good medicine, and we maybe need to look at that more closely.
But the other thing that I think the book really points out, and there's so much information in the book because the essays are very informational dense, and they offer people a very good education in some of these areas, is that the solutions actually work better than the polluting solutions in these these various technologies. The things that you can use to get rid of pests actually last longer and actually successfully get rid of pests, rather than using the really toxic stuff, which lasts, you know, get maybe a few months at the most. So it's not even very effective. And the same is true in the areas where you talk about cancer. You've got Dr. Epstein's essay in here. He's very famous for going against the cancer institution, the establishment, and showing that the natural treatments in many cases actually cause people to go into remission or have actual complete spontaneous healings, whereas conventional cancer treatment often kills the patient faster. So it goes back to what Andy Weil says, not to treat things as if it's a crisis, and to do the simple stuff first, which is my kind of mantra too. Do the simple stuff first.
Well, and you know, the other part of that too, and a lot of what Sam Epstein's work has been about, and he's as you know a very rigorous scientist and has been on all kinds of government panels and the whole bit, but there have been several meta studies that have come out over the last few years of very large numbers of people that were actually, these studies were funded by the biotechnology industry because they wanted to prove the genetic cause of cancer, right? And then they could come up with a biotechnological genetic cure using gene medicine. Well, what these studies showed was contrary to that. It's that 70 to 90% of cancer is directly caused by environmental and occupational exposure, which means 70 to 90% of cancer is preventable. And where we should really be focusing our attention, and one of the basic precepts of ecological medicine, is on prevention. Really, curing or treating is a secondary thing. It shows you that you've already got a problem. You want to stop the problem before it even occurs.
Yes, it's very important to know that. And genes express themselves in relationship to the environment. So even if you've got really bad genetics, it's not a death sentence.
That depends on
what you're exposing yourself to and how you're living. We have to stop talking about the book, and we have to start offering it to people now. So can I get some pledging music in the background? And that's good. Yeah. Now, This is the opportunity that you have. We've been, Kenny and I, and I think Sally is there too. We're all here. We're all volunteering our time and our effort and our work to you. And what we would like from you is for you to join us. And the way that the easiest way for you to join us is to join KPFA, because this gives us an opportunity to bring the work to you. We can't do it without the radio station. And as you may recall, the radio station went dark several summers ago. The number is 510-848-5732, and it's 1-800-439-5732. If you call us right now, we can give you a copy of Ecological Medicine, which is guaranteed to make you happy because it's so hopeful and so full of good information. That's a $90 pledge. Again, seven something a month. It's less than anything else you use in your life, and it will carry you along in a very good way. And we also have 20% off year subscription coupons to the Progressive Health Advisor, a news commentary alternative to big box medicine. This is an outgrowth of your own health and fitness. We're going to offer it to you for a normal pledge, the regular join at $60, our normal pledge level for the year. And we'll give you a 20% off of the Progressive Health Advisor, which will be criticizing and going up against what news is in the conventional media. And we will also have columns, including book reviews and hormone columns, exercise columns, recipes. You can get both of these premiums for $125, so please jump on the phone right now at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. You've been listening to an interview with Kenny Ossibel, who asked to stay on the line to help pitch. How are we doing, Sally?
Well, we've got seven people on the line, and we need about two more people to come to their phones, because I don't think we have more than eight people in the phone room right now. But I do want to say that we already have had a flurry of calls during your micro break that you had, and that this is very, very inspiring material that you folks can get if you'll come to your phones, 510-848-5732 or 800-439-5732. And don't forget, Lena, the World Wide Web. It's a tool. We can use it. You can pledge online at www.kpfa.org.
Please remember that any amount of money that you can offer helps us during a pledge drive. If you've already pledged and joined the station, or you can make a gift of any of these things. If you want to gift somebody the Progressive Health Advisor for $60 and then give them the membership to KPFA, you'll get a 20% coupon for $60. But any amount of money you want to offer is helpful. Now, I know Kenny Ossibel, founder of the Bioneers, who's still with us, listens to KPFA on the web in New Mexico. And I know it's very important to him.
Yeah, I sure do. And, you know, as I said, it's like oxygen to me. And there are certain shows I can't live without. I mean, I got to hear Amy Goodman unless there's just no way I can get to it. And you know, I spoke to I was visiting with a shaman several years ago, and he said to me at one point, you know, nobody can take your power away. Only you can give it away. And so we have to not give our power away. And part of that means we have to support the institutions that we believe in. And what KPFA and public radio are doing are just indispensable. And especially in this day and age, communication is so, so important. And weaving community. And that's what this station is about. And
please give us a call right now. It's 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. And please also avail yourself of one of these thank you gifts, the book Ecological Medicine at $90, the coupon a year, 20% off the year subscription to Progressive Health Advisor for $60, or packaged together for $125. And if you want to join, that's quite a deal, incidentally. If you want to join both, you'll have so much information. The Progressive Health Advisor is going to give you a bi-monthly, rather dense newsletter full of information similar to the kind of stuff we carry on this show, Your Own Health and Fitness. My co-editor on the managing editor is Dr. Jeffrey Fawcett, who is a political economist, and we'll have several articles written by him and I both, including columns about food and exercise and hormones, all the stuff you like to hear about. But again, this book, Ecological Medicine, is really encouraging. It really makes you feel good to read it. There's a couple of essays here that really made my heart sing, like the one by the one of the Indian, one of the Native American writers who I should have had this open to probably.
Scott G. Cook?
Yeah, the one that starts talking about her mother at the very beginning. I mean, it's like it's a long poem almost. It's
right.
So chilling, so beautiful. Please call us right now, 510-848-5732. Don't miss out on these gifts.
We do have open lines now. I see that we have several open lines, so we really would love for you to come to the phone. A moment ago, I was going to say, if you're having trouble getting through, please be patient because all our lines are filled up. However, now there are few lines.
And remember,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can send us any amount of money. We certainly will take it. And as I said before, we are all volunteers here right now. None of us is paid to do this. We do this because it's a passion. And what I've said before is in this particular economic and political climate that we find ourselves, the ultimate political act is to maintain your media and information sources. And nobody at KPFA is getting rich doing this. We're doing it because we have a passion and a concern, and it is on your support that we're able to carry ourselves through just to do what we need to do. KPFA is trying to raise just a drop in the bucket compared to what our large public radio stations are trying to make. Remember that we are not corporate sponsored at all. The money comes from you, and we need you now at 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732.
Please. We need several people to come to their phones. We do implore you. We have these incredible, incredible premiums for you. Ecological Medicine by our esteemed guest, who is a wonderful activist, Kenny Ossibel, and Lena's newsletter. And we only have four people on the line now, and we thank you, four people, for coming to your phones, but we also want to encourage more people to get to their phones.
Let me talk a little bit about the newsletter, since we don't have one in your hand to look at. We are going to be doing a large spread on antidepressants and their overprescription, and we're also doing an article about the fact that adult onset diabetes is no longer adult onset. It's now showing up in children 5 years old. 5 years old. And we're going to talk about what to do about it. As usual, the same way that we do it here on the show, we're not just going to create a problem and scare you and upset you. We're going to give you very practical solutions, and everything will be referenced. You'll be able to find out where we got our information. And
you know,
yeah.
I think it just goes to show, Lena, that KPFA is essential to our health. And I would like to think that those open lines right now are waiting for some high donors, because I think that's terrible that nobody there gets paid and it's all volunteer. I mean, what does that say about our culture? You know, this is the most important, most honorable work people could be doing is public radio, and I would like to see you guys really well compensated for it, actually. So how about some $1,000 donors or a seven-figure donor?
We don't seem to have a match grant during this hour. We could have used one, so you'll have to be our match grant, 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. At any level that you want, you can bundle these precious gifts, the book Ecological Medicine, the 20% off of the year subscription to Progressive Health Advisor, bi-monthly newsletter, both for $125. And wonderful gift opportunities here. Those of you that listen to the show that are frustrated that your relatives are not on board, if you get a subscription to the newsletter, you can send that to them, and they will get to read it themselves in their own good time. Ecological Medicine, again, just tremendously supportive and will make you very happy. And both of them for $125 is, again, still less than you're paying for your newspaper and your cable company, those of you that listen. Watch the TV. We need you to call now. It's 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. As beautiful as it is outside during the spring, we still need your help, and we still have bills to pay at KPFA to keep us solvent so that we can continue to broadcast on this very large band, which was worth so much money and was almost sold out from under us. Please join. Even if you've already joined, join and buy a gift for someone. 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. We need your help right now. Both gifts for $125, Ecological Medicine and a 20% off subscription to the Progressive Health Advisor, a news commentary alternative to big box medicine. How are we doing, Sally?
Well, we've got 7 people who have come to their phones, and we thank each and every one of you. And but we do have more phone volunteers who eagerly await your calls. So please do come to the phones, 510-848-5732 or 800-439-5732. Be part of this great teamwork with Kenny and Lena. Lena comes to you every week with this invaluable information, alternative care information, which really isn't alternative anymore. It's beyond that. It's vital, and it's stuff you've really got to know for yourselves, for your elders, for your children. And this is the place to get it, right here at KPFA, and we still have open lines, so come to the phones, please.
Well, in fact, there is a juncture between this book, Ecological Medicine, and the work I do on the show, because it's about the idea that you want to maintain a healthy balance in the planet, in your environment around you, and in the way that you tend yourself and steward the environment. And these are small steps that can be taken easily, and the recommendations for them are both in the newsletter and in this book, Ecological Medicine. Lots of instruction, not hard to do, inspirational. What else can you ask for in times like this? $125 will get you both premiums. That's quite a deal, and it will help us through the spring to continue to bring the kind of programming that you like on KPFA.
Again, we've only got a minute left,
okay,
folks.
And I'll have to sign off here. 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. Thank you so much to Kenny Asabel.
2 minutes, I lied.
Okay, Kenny, thank
you
so much.
Lena, there's a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the book, I don't know if you remember it, by Jean Achterberg, called Relationships Are the Best Medicine.
Oh, yes.
And she talks about all the scientific data that you can't hardly kill a married man, even if it's not a real happy marriage, and a community of Italians, a very big, extended, multi-generational family that smoked and drank and didn't exercise and lived forever and were very healthy because they all loved each
community.
Other and had great relationships. So I think, you know, get on that phone, develop a relationship with KPFA or deepen it or strengthen it. You know, that's the best medicine we have is each other.
Thanks so much, Kenny. We're going to have to let you go because I have to sign off. But again,
alrighty.
Thank you for your help.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. You still have time to join, and obviously the phone volunteers will continue to give away these thank you gifts, Ecological Medicine and the 20% off coupon for the Progressive Health Advisor, both together for $125. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Lena Berman. If you need more information or if you want a cassette copy of this or any other in the series, Your Own Health and Fitness, you can call my information number at 707-874-2772. For other available show lists and information about guests and information on the new newsletter, Progressive Health Advisor, a news commentary alternative to Big Box Medicine, go to the website, yourownhealthandfitness.com, yourownhealthandfitness.com. Next week, I'll be preempted for the 911 hearings, but I'll be back with another pledge drive on May 25th about the dangers of antidepressants and their overprescription with Dr. Peter Bragan. The engineers for Your Own Health and Fitness are George Curtis in Sebastopol, thanks to the Stone Elephant Mastodon Museum and Tasting Room, and at KPFA, Sally Phillips. Thanks all of you who joined during this hour. Remember, being informed not only protects your health, it protects your freedom. Bye-bye for now, and thank you. Need an instruction manual for your antidepressant medicines? Maybe you need neither.